with the data that we have, what we're building is the ability for Sherpa to make the site that much more reactive to the consumer. Yeah. So things like even your homepage layout, you'll end up seeing a different homepage than I'll see based on the widgets you engage with and the things that I know you're interested in.
Welcome to the Strategy with Jason podcast. Tune in for everything you need to know to stay in the know regarding the automotive industry. Here's your host, Jason Harris.
Hey, 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 what's going on, Podcast Nation? It's Jason Harris here, and thank you for joining me on another episode of The Drive. I'm in Lexington, Kentucky. That's right, Lexington, Kentucky. I know. Anyways, the Kane Auto
Event.
It's
better than it sounds.
It's better than it sounds. Yeah, it's not raining, so I'm happy.
That's right.
But I'm here with Gino for the Dealer E-Process. Gino, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not much. I'm great.
I'm excited we got a chance to do this. I know we've got a chance to kind of jam about before a few things before we start recording, and you guys are going to get an opportunity to really kind of, you know, hear, you know, some cool and new things that, you know, they're working out over there. But before we get into that, you know, I love kicking off these podcasts with a little origin story.
Sure.
A, because I'm always fascinated, you know. So, Gino, how did you get started in this crazy little world we call the automotive industry?
Yeah, it was never on my radar, you know, which I think is true for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in grad school studying the very exciting topic of applied economics, which is essentially just a data science type of degree,
mm-hmm.
I started messing around with this little thing called Google AdWords. And I did that because my uncle, who owns his own company, asked me, say, hey, can you figure out if we can advertise on this thing? And I was the most tech-savvy person he knew, which wasn't saying much. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll take a look. And as I got into it, I said, you know, this is a really cool mixture of data, which is what I was studying, creativity, marketing, everything like that. So after grad school ended, I started looking around for jobs where maybe I can get into this Google AdWords kind of thing. And believe it or not, on Craigslist, there was a posting from a little company called Dealer E-Process. This is going back almost 11 years ago, looking for a Google paid search strategist. So I interviewed there. I got very nervous because our owner, who is still, you know, we're still privately owned. He still runs the show. About 10 minutes into my interview, it was me, him, and one other person who was running the department at the time. He got up and he said, well, I'm going to go play basketball. And I'm like, oh, well, this didn't go well. I guess I should keep looking. But then a few hours later, I got the offer. And, you know, so I started running paid search campaigns. And that's when I really started to understand the dealer world and how what I was doing influenced what they were doing and really how complicated the process of selling a car really is, you know, which I knew nothing about. So that was very fascinating. And then from there, our technology started to evolve and I started getting really excited about just telling dealers about it.
Yeah.
So that naturally transitioned me into a sales role. And then over the course of, like I said, almost 11 years, puts me in the position I'm at today where I'm chief revenue officer. The company's grown quite a lot since I've been there and it's been fun to be a part of it.
Well, I mean, I definitely can see that being a fun part of it. And also, I think one of the most fun parts, I think, of just kind of dealership branding and dealership experience, you know, I mean, look, for consumers, you know, some of our very first impressions that we have of the dealership that we are going to go spend 20, 30, 40, 50 plus hundreds, tens of thousands or whatever it is the website.
Yeah.
You know, so like that is exciting.
Man.
I mean, I get excited about that. I remember when my dealership got its first website in 2000 and, you know, and I got sucked into it because
I can only imagine what that thing looked like.
Well, like you, I was like the most tech savvy person in the dealership. So let's get Jason involved in this. He must know something about this.
Right. He's a young guy. He knows what the internet is.
So, okay. So let's tell me a little bit more of a kind of like Dealer E Process. Like what was that kind of that aha moment that was like, hey, this is the problem and this is how we're going to set out to solve it.
Yeah. There's been so many of those over the years. Our most recently though, was I was kind of sitting back and just looking at the website and people have been tossing around this term, like your website's your digital showroom. Right. And then that never sat well with me for one reason or another. And as I sat down to think about it, I'm like, why is it just your digital showroom? Because think of what a showroom is. It's just something static that sits there that I, as a customer, if I'm the only one in there, I got to go figure out what to do, where to go, what's what, you know. Why shouldn't it be more like a digital salesperson where it's guiding the customer through the process saying, hey, I know what you're interested in. I know what your needs are. I think these 12 vehicles match it. These three are actually really good matches for it. And oh, by the way, I also know that. So I'm going to market to you better, you know. So that was kind of an aha moment. And then from there, what I love about Dealer-E, all our development's done in-house, and myself, our CTO and our COO, we get in a room regularly and we just go through this exercise of let's put away all the restrictions that we know might exist. Mm-hmm. Let's just sit here and have a just out of the box brainstorming session. What would be great stuff to build? We started coming up with all of these different things that would turn the site into that digital salesperson, like our personalization, like our digital ID. And all of that has kind of culminated into what we just launched on Monday, which is our brand new Everest platform, which is an entire integration of our website, all of our tools, like our trade-in tool, our digital retailing tool, chat tool, our digital marketing into one solution. And then we built AI behind it, which, you know, calling the platform Everest, our AI guide we call Sherpa.
Great name, by the way.
Thank you.
Great name.
And it works on, so Sherpa, you know, the AI works on helping the customers navigate the site, helps the salespeople navigate the customer, and helps the dealership, you know, personnel themselves, the GM or whoever, get a better understanding of all the data. Mm-hmm. So there's tons. I mean, I don't think we have a long enough car ride.
Well, no,
for
I mean,
this,
I think just that one aspect of it is so incredibly important. I mean, you know, I've said this on many different podcasts before. You know, this last decade was, you know, the decade of widgets. Yeah. You know, and let's just see how many widgets and tools that we can throw onto our website. And you know, I think in the last 5 years we've seen a transition, which. So thankful for that, right? Mm. But you know, one of the first steps is connecting those widgets. I mean, all those widgets have great intent,
right?
Right, but they don't communicate with each other,
right?
Right, and so like, I love the fact that you guys saw that, like, hey, that's a fundamental problem, right? And you know, we need to fundamentally solve that, right? And I think that's cool. Now, when you start layering on AI, that's a whole nother thing. But let's get into, because I'm really fascinated with this concept of the website being more than just a digital brochure, because to your point, you're 100% right. I mean, as an industry, that has just been a proverbial checkbox that, you know, most dealerships have just checked off.
Right.
Like, I have a website. Yeah. It has a form fill. They can put their first name, last name, email address in and check the box off. But you guys have taken a much more engaged approach to it. And let's kind of dive deeper into that.
Yeah. Well, you talk about aha moments, and one of the aha moments for me was I saw a quote from Jeff Bezos, who said this in 1998, which is why Amazon's worth $1 trillion, because he's that far ahead of the curve. But he said, if we have 4.5 million customers, we shouldn't have one website or one store. We should have 4.5 million stores. And I'm like, yeah, no shit.
Sense.
Yeah. So taking that mentality, we started to think about how do we make a store, quote unquote, for each and every shopper. And in doing that, the store kind of ended up being a salesperson, because when you go to the site, and I know you've been looking at, let's say it's a Toyota site, you've been looking at RAV4s with sunroofs, Apple CarPlay, heated seats. I know that you've been shopping on Google, or you came from Google. I know that you engaged with the trade-in tool. I know you did all these things. I can custom tailor a site experience just for you based on all of that. That would not impact my site experience that I see when I go to the site, because I'm a different shopper than you.
And that's exactly what Amazon does for me. You know, I go there and I can always tell, because both me and my wife share an Amazon account. Mm-hmm. I can always tell when she's shopping. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, so we are buying new curtains.
Yeah. Huh?
Okay.
I thought we agreed not to do that.
Amazon just informed me of it, because that's all of everything that it just presented and suggested to me.
Yeah. I don't have to look at the profile to know what my wife's shopping for, because I know that there's 3 or 4 packages at the house every single day. Yeah. So I just don't even bother there anymore.
Well, look, I think this is a very fresh, very unique approach. And the timing makes sense, because, you know, our ability to collect data and specifically behavioral data has really evolved over the years, you know, but that data is only as good as how we can make it actionable.
Right. And so that makes me think of another kind of mantra for this year that I've been hearing, is that everyone's been saying this is the year of the audience, which I think is important. And I think it's a good mantra, but that's not the whole picture. What do you do with that audience? Like, let's say you create an audience. Cool. then what? You know, more often than not, people talk about that in terms of marketing, right? Like, well, I want to have the most robust marketing audiences. It's like, yeah, you absolutely do. But then what happens when they get to the site? Right?
Typically, that's where that digital experience has really fallen short over the years.
Because your audience that you curated for your marketing doesn't tell your site anything about how to present the content that it needs to present.
100%. You know, and I've said this on many other podcasts before when it's kind of, you know, diving into more marketing. You know, I've been asked many times, well, what's the best strategy, you know, I can ever run, you know, for my dealership? It's like, oh gosh, okay, well, there's a lot. But I always kind of come back to the, I'm like, it's the strategy and where the client feels known. Mm-hmm. All right. There is something incredibly impactful. And it just, it creates a unique experience when I feel like I'm known by the company that I'm doing business with. I mean, the same thing with Amazon. I go there, I feel like I'm known. It's showing me things that I'm generally interested in, and I'm not wasting a lot of time looking at stuff that I'm that doesn't pique my interest.
People don't want to do extra work, and they don't want to have to tell you every single time who they are and what they're looking for. Like, think about, you know, if you're going to buy, I don't know, you're going to buy shoes. Maybe you'll go to one shoe store a couple different times. This is a stupid example, but are you going to go in every single time? Are you going to want to go in every single time and say what size shoe you are, what type of shoes you're looking for, what you're going to use it? No, like you're just going to go there and have that one conversation. And then anytime you go back, you know, people should know if they got good service, what you're looking for. Again, not my best example, but you get what
I'll
I'm saying.
I'll give you one that my family uses a lot. Okay. Ordering pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Guess what? No surprise that my family typically likes the same pizza every single time that we order. And I got to be honest, I'm actually not necessarily a big Domino's fan, but I'm a crazy fan of their app.
Their app is
why? Because I go there, I hit the button, and it goes, would you like to order the last thing you ordered last time? I'm like, yes, please. And with one click in 20 seconds, I've completed dinner, done my dad thing.
And that's it. And you're the hero now. Domino's is coming. Dad got it. He got what we always love. So, yeah. And that app, the technology helps you do that. And what I think is interesting is that thinking about consumers, thinking about myself as a consumer, going back to the whole deal, like I don't have to keep telling you over and over again what I'm looking for. We take that to another level even. So within this site environment, if we already know about you on one site and who you are and what you're looking for, if you're part of a dealer group and you go from one site to another, you're not starting that process over on that second site. We carry that data over to the next site. So rather than shopping piece by piece within the group, if you're a group that wants to operate this way in a more holistic sense, my digital ID, my profile, will go to each and every site in the group and automatically update that site experience for me based on what it learned about me from previous sessions.
Well, and I mean, and that makes sense. I mean, because like, look, what I mean,
that was another aha too.
That's definitely an aha because, oh, like I'm in the process of shopping for a new truck because my lease is coming up, right? And I'm looking for a truck. I don't. Oh gosh, no. Even though there is one in my neighborhood, and my kids just think it's just the coolest thing.
I think it looks pretty cool. I'll be honest.
I don't know. I think it does look cool. I don't know. Would I try one? I don't know. One of these days I will rent one. We'll do a podcast in a Cybertruck.
All right.
But like I'm open to multiple trucks. I'm not, you know, just fixated on just getting this same brand and same type. So I've been literally doing what you just described.
Right.
You know, within this particular group that's actually close to, I've went to the Ford site. I went to the Nissan site, you know, and yeah, man, again, you're just enhancing that great strategy of being felt known.
So that's at the heart of our platform is this idea of a digital ID that Sherpa can read and understand. So it knows Jason, all right, he's been looking for full size pickups, extended cab, you know, whatever other
I got towing stuff. Towing, I got a boat and a trailer.
I got a pole. You got towing, but you got your creature comforts that you want. You want the premium sound and all that crap. So why wouldn't I tell the other sites in the group that, hey, if Jason heads there, this is what he's looking for. That's the idea.
Smart, man, that is super smart. Well, and look, you know, we've talked, you know, our industry talks a lot about the experience. And, you know, the holy grail that is that experience. And like we said, even earlier in this podcast, that experience starts online. And here's the thing I'm fascinated with experiences. They happen regardless if you're intentional about it or not.
Oh, yeah.
They're just going to
happen. Well, the best experiences happen without you knowing they're happening.
That's right.
Or you having to take action. Like, if you force a customer, like, if you want to give a personalized experience to a customer on a dealership website, but first you force them to create a login on your site, that's not going to happen. That's a bad experience. Nobody's going to log into a dealership website, especially someone who's just shopping for a car. 100%. So for ours, it's very passive on the consumer side. They don't know that it's what's really happening. They just see it happening. Like, I don't get upset with Amazon when it tells me, hey, you might be running low on something, which, because I have a, this, I don't know if I told you this, my giant dog that eats TV remotes. I have a 140 pound dog, and sometimes my wife and I will just forget, we'll leave the TV remote out. He's eaten over 20 of them.
What?
And on my
favorite snack or something?
Yeah, he just loves shredding it. And on my Amazon page, when I log in, it says you might be running low on, and then it shows me a picture of the TV remotes I've been buying. So it's like, I didn't have to tell them that, but I did buy more remotes when they showed me. I'm like, yeah, I should have a stash here.
Yes.
But it's that kind of passive experience that we're creating that the customer's just seeing and engaging with. And since doing this, here's what's crazy. Since doing this, we've been testing this on dealers. We've seen an increase in first visit lead conversion rate by up 67%.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that means that the customers, once they see this experience happening in real time, they lean in. Like, okay, you're getting me. Like you said, you understand
the friction.
Me.
You're removing the friction.
Right.
Like it, those little things adds to that overall experience. Now, I know you guys do a great job of kind of really creating these very cool little things. Kind of any other little things that you've just like, oh man, this is the coolest thing and everybody needs to know about it.
I mean, we got a ton of those little things. That's what makes like a demo for us so hard is that it could take you 3 hours to get through it all. But I mean, we have tons of little things, like something as simple as the fact that we are the only ones that download and store on our own servers every vehicle brochure that was ever made going back to 2011. So for all your used inventory, if you're a Toyota store and you've got a Nissan Altima on your site,
yeah,
we've got the brochure for that car. You could send that brochure to a customer and have a conversation with them about the Altima, even though you only are trained to sell Toyotas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got things like uncompressed photos so you can zoom in and get up close and personal and see if, you know, that mark on the car is a ding or a scratch. You know, we got all of these little tiny things, but they all live within that environment that we've created. And it's like one of the, and the cool things that we have coming up are even more exciting. So we're diving deep into this idea of Sherpa AI and what it can do with this data.
Let's get into
Sherpa's great. And I love it too, just because like a Sherpa, like people who climb Mount Everest just for a living, what, just a badass, right?
100%. I mean, come on, you know. And it's like, if I can, you know, lifelong achievements, I wouldn't ever.
No, it's never been on my radar, but I mean, like,
you have to admire it, man.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's amazing.
Those are the hardest people on earth. And so we felt, you know, we're making the most badass AI in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fitting name.
100%.
But with the data that we have, what we're building is the ability for Sherpa to make the site that much more reactive to the consumer. Mm. So things like even your homepage layout, you'll end up seeing a different homepage than I'll see based on the widgets you engage with and the things that I know you're interested in. So like we have shopping, we have search by payment widgets, search by feature widgets, all these different things. We're going to rearrange the page for you based on how you shop versus me. So the homepage will be different. Things like dynamic CTAs, where if you've already engaged with a tool, I had this question come up in my session I just did at the conference, where someone asked, do we need to have the word value your trade on every single car? And I'm like, not necessarily, not if it's always readily available. Mm-hmm. But do you, the further question to that is, do you need to have the call to action value their trade at all if the customer's already valued their trade? So we're going to start.
Let's that disconnect again, right?
Right. So we're going to start manipulating the site based on the CTAs you've already filled out so that we don't keep asking you to do the same thing over and over again.
Well, you know what, but that makes sense though, because, you know, that's, and I'm thinking this by myself right now, because as I'm shopping for this truck that I need to replace here relatively mm-hmm. soon, is, you know, I started looking for trucks that have features of the current truck that I like, mm-hmm. right? And okay, now since I'm like, okay, I've kind of narrowed it down, you know, then what do I start doing? I start, like any other consumer out there, look at my budget, mm-hmm. right? And now I'm shopping kind of within this space of the feature set that I'm looking for. I'm shopping by price, you know,
right.
based on whatever the incentives and, you know, promotions and stuff like that are. But I evolve down through that space. Now, you know, I'm also one of those people that will, you know, from a financing perspective, I'll get all the way down to the end, because like I want to spend as least amount of time in a dealership as
well. Most people want that,
you know, so like I will, you know, I will fill out the credit app. I want to get it as much done as possible before again. I still want to come in and, smell it and taste it and lick it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, you could do, you know, shop how you want, Jason. That's sure. That's our point. Let shop people shop how they want.
Yes.
But no, that's another question that came up in my session is one of the dealers asked, you know, where do you find the best place to put the lead form in a digital retailing tool? And what we've found is right at the front, you know, because if you're a serious shopper and you really want to get down to what, you know, your actual payment's going to be, we're going to need to know your trade-in. We're going to need to know what loans you have to your name. We're going to need to know your credit position. We're going to need to know your equity position. And we can do all of that really easily if you just give us your name and address. So if you're a serious shopper, and this is what we found, they fill out that lead pretty regularly, and that's the highest converting lead from lead to sale that we have.
But it's so fascinating that this site is evolving and adapting kind of based on where I'm kind of at in my shopping process.
Yeah.
And that is very, very unique, you know, and I think just so user-friendly, you know, so like... from an engagement perspective, this is where I want to go from engage. Because at some point in time, you know, like you said, with the form, I need to get into conversation with the dealer.
Sure.
How do you guys approach that?
So that's where Sherpa comes in again. So in that digital ID I was talking about, we have every step that you've taken throughout any, like one site or any of the sites in the group, if we're talking a group, from day one up until the point we're at now.
Okay.
Sherpa takes that data and actually writes a summary. Like, think about putting an entire search history into ChatGPT and it spits out a, you know, a summary of what Jason's been doing. It'll take that entire summary and a salesperson can read that summary and know that Jason, okay, well, Jason looked at F-150s 3 days ago on our Ford site. He looked at Ram 1500s the other day on the Ram site. Now he's on the Chevy site looking at Silverado 1500s. I see every feature he's selected up to this point, and I know the stock numbers that he's been looking at. So think about that from like a centralized BDC standpoint, who you're gonna send them anywhere they need to go. Now you can have that conversation, because even though you filled out the lead on the Silverado, it may have been a week since I got you on, until I could get you on the phone. And maybe now you're thinking, well, maybe I do like that F-150 better. I'll know all of that. And the salesperson will know all of that because Sherpa will tell them all of that.
So you're empowering the conversation by, you know, really kind of front loading.
Yeah.
Learned that term recently because of being a parent. you're front loading them, you know, kind of with the information that they need to have a better educated conversation with.
Well, I mean, think of a BDC to salesperson handoff in the dealership. A good handoff is the BDC rep has the conversation and then tells the salesperson everything they learned about that customer.
Yes.
So when they come in, it's not like the salesperson starting from scratch. I know that's not how it always goes, but that's how it should go. We're doing the same thing. We're just handing the salesperson, whoever's going to talk to that customer, an overview of everything we know about that customer. So now you're not starting from scratch. Like, hey, I saw you, you know, you filled out a lead here. What are you looking for? It's like, no.
Well, and that's typically, by the way, that is normally how it goes.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I don't have, I mean, like I've run BDCs, I've helped build BDCs over the years. And yeah, I mean, you get a name and a phone number and an email address. And the data I have is on whatever vehicle that was. I don't get prepped with any context to what they've behaviorally done up to that point.
Right. And then you can be a better consultant for the customer, because it's like, hey, I see you're looking at towing packages. Do you mind if I ask, what are you looking to tow? Because some of these packages might not necessarily work for what you're trying to tow. So I want to make sure you're looking at the right package, right?
Yeah.
And then you can go into being the one that helps them get to the car that they're trying to find, which is ultimately, I think, what we're trying to do. I mean, I teach all my sales team, like, don't be a seller, be a consultant, you know? Because there's always going to be a solution that works for somebody, but not for somebody else. And the same thing goes for a car buyer. So if you have the data to know how to steer that conversation from the start, you can just be a better consultant.
No, you're 100% right. So I'm thinking of just kind of everybody out there that's watching and listening right now, and they're going like, I dig this strategy, you know, and I think there's, you know, probably some other, you know, online experience strategies that, you know, have to be kind of executed. I'd love to kind of pick your brain on that, you know, because, you know, you also have that marketing side brain of you as well. Like, you know, it's like, it's one, like there's, I need to get them to the site, you know, and I'd love to just kind of get your thoughts on just like strategically what you've seen, because you guys got a lot of dealerships you work with. You guys have seen a lot of data out there. What has been some of the most successful website marketing integration, like strategies you've seen?
So, God, do we have, how much time we have? There's a ton, right?
Yeah.
Now I want to start with one that is, they're making waves right now in automotive, big waves, but they also have the most outstanding targeting data I've ever seen. And it's Amazon. We've already mentioned in this podcast, but Amazon. So we've been an Amazon advertising partner for. They brought this partnership to automotive in May of 2020.
Yep.
Awesome time to start a new advertising wing, by the way, May of 2020. but what's crazy is Amazon has the most robust user profile that we've ever seen as far as identifying who's in market for a car. And think about Amazon's data versus everybody else. Everybody else's data, like Google has decent data. They can tell you based on modeling data if someone's in market for a certain type of vehicle or things like that. But at the end of the day, there's still a good amount of guesswork that they're doing. Amazon's not guesswork. It's us telling them exactly who we are and what we're looking for and what we like to buy, right? So Amazon, I tell them where I live because that's where I want my stuff shipped.
Exactly.
I tell them what's sitting in my garage because, like, I just bought wiper blades for my wife a couple months ago. So now Amazon knows where those blades were shipped and knows that we have a 2018 Nissan Rogue Sport sitting in the garage. They also know if you're shopping for a car, because like we saw with the announcement of Hyundai, they've been very active with the OEMs, and there's OEM showrooms on Amazon.com. And then they may or may not be releasing something later on this year where dealers can actually list their own inventory on Amazon.com.
Wouldn't be surprised.
So that's going to bolster that data piece too. And then lastly, here's the craziest part. I think every dealer watching this has sold way more than a few cars to people who either are about to have or just had a baby or went through some other life event that tends to lead someone to make a purchase, right?
Typically, kids is a big one. New homes.
New homes.
Is another big one. Retirement. These are, you're right. These are life events, you know, that happen and very much so correlate with the purchase of a new vehicle.
Amazon knows when all of that's happening. Because if you're about to have a baby, you're going to start an Amazon baby registry, or you're going to start hoarding diapers something's going to change. And so if you put all that together, you can think of a profile to where, let's say there's a woman that's 7.5 miles from you, which we know from her address. She owns a Honda Civic because she bought wiper blades for it 6 months ago. She's been shopping the OEM showrooms on Amazon, and she just started a baby registry. Well, that Honda Civic, I ain't going to cut it anymore. She's going to need something a little bit bigger. Yeah. So now she gets put into an SUV type of campaign. And then from there, and I talk about Amazon strictly from the standpoint of their data,
Yes. Because
we reach people way beyond the Amazon atmosphere. We do it through streaming on apps like Hulu or Sling. We do it on online video and display ads throughout the millions of websites that Amazon has in their network. We just use Amazon to know that that's the person we should be showing the ad to, and here's the ad that we should be showing them.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing in marketing. And then when you talk about bringing that into the rest of the marketing ecosystem, Amazon, yeah, it's all integrated.
I know. And it's such an exciting time to be a dealer because, you know, years ago, this wasn't, like, we didn't have this at our fingertips.
Yeah. And it's taken a long time to get here, but I think we've gotten to a point, because everyone says, like, oh, automotive's 10 years behind the rest of the world. I'm like,
I don't think that's
not really if you have everything set up correctly.
Yes.
You know?
But you have to have a partner to do that with, right? And I think, you know, for any dealers out there watching and listening right now, you do really need to consider and think about who have you partnered up, you know, either from a marketing perspective or from a website perspective to enhance that experience, because it truly is a partnership. It's not just a thing that we just went out and bought. We used to do that. The websites used to be like that.
My OEM says I have to use these guys, so here we go.
Exactly. So, you know, let's get into a little bit more about, you know, from a partnership perspective, what can people expect from Dealery Process?
Well, I would say if you're a dealer and you ask around about Dealery Process, you'll hear good things about our technology for sure, but the first thing you'll hear is our support. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. So going back to our owner who I mentioned, still owns the company, still runs it every day. He was a dealer himself. So this company started because...
deep operational understanding.
Uh-huh. Definitely understands the frustrations that dealers have. And he had his own frustrations because he was a... So he owned a Pontiac store on the south side of Chicago. Yeah, we're going back a ways. Now, south side of Chicago, not the most glamorous place in the world, but they sold a good amount of cars. But he always hated his website, which is the website the OEM told him, well, you got to use. It's a... I don't remember who it was at the time, but that kind of started. And he said, you know, like, screw this. I can build a better website, or I can find people that can build a better website.
Love it when dealers get involved.
Yeah. So he did just that. And the website, it was so user-friendly and it was just loaded with SEO that they took that sleepy Pontiac dealership on the south side of Chicago to number one in the country.
Wow.
It went gangbusters. So naturally people were like, what the hell are you guys doing? Automotive News wrote them up about this website that they created. And then that was it. Dealer Reprocess was born from there. So having that in our DNA, you talk about what type of experience dealers will have in us. Most of our people who are on our support teams, like your website rep or your digital marketing rep, come from retail automotive. And that's a big thing we search for when we look for candidates, because we want you to be able to understand the technology so you can be a good consultant, but we more so want you to understand the dealership world, because we can train the technology, but understanding a dealership and how that operates and what these guys' needs are is very different. You have to be in it.
No, you really got to be in the thick of it. And that's one thing I've always admired about, you know, dealer built or dealer driven, you know, technologies out there is that, you know, that's the need, right? Like they need to fundamentally understand, you know, the complexities, the stress, you know, the ups and downs, the having to stay 2.5 hours after closing to, you know, find out the customer couldn't finance a hot dog, let alone a Lincoln Navigator.
Yeah. when bell to bell is a short day for someone.
Right. You know, but all of that goes in, and that, it's so funny because I didn't know that part about you guys, by the way. Mm. And now I look at the full set of all these, you know, solutions you built. No, it totally makes sense, you know, because that's what a dealer wants.
Yeah, it is. And then so I think what you get from us is much more consultative approach, much more strategy-driven conversation, because everyone says, yeah, I review my website with my rep every month. We go over my Google Analytics, everything's looking good. It's like, okay, well, that's just one piece. The Google Analytics should feed your strategy of what you should do next. So who's taking it to that level beyond? And I think having AI will help that. Sherpa will certainly guide those conversations because we collect mountains of data. It's impossible for one person to be able to sift through it all at one time.
Of course.
But having those, having that intelligence behind us to help us guide the conversation is going to be really powerful. But ultimately, we don't want to be seen as like a vendor. And it's a cliche to say we want to be seen as a partner. But really, again, that's in our DNA. We want to be, you know, we were built by a dealer for dealers. So that's really what we strive to do with our relationships that we have and the experience we want to give to the customers.
Well, and I think, you know, that's what dealerships should be looking for right now. They should be looking for an experienced partner, you know, and it's funny. I was thinking about this, like you guys, and it's an experienced partner. I mean, that's the way I kind of categorize you guys. I was thinking maybe first impressions, but that is a part of it. But you guys go beyond just the first impression. Mm-hmm. And it's just that you're covering the entire customer's purchase cycle online, which I'm sure from a data perspective, you guys have seen that it's much deeper than I think most people think it is. So like, it doesn't surprise me. I know we're getting towards the tail end of our time today, and I know we could easily jump for a lot longer, but before I let you go, for everybody out there that's watching and listening right now, and who would love to connect with you, Gino, and learn just more about Dealer Reprocess, what's the best way to do so?
I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. You could find me there pretty easily. If you want to talk to me directly, my email is pretty simple. It's just Gino, G-I-N-O, at dealerreprocess.com. And anybody, I don't care who you are, if you have questions, just email me directly. I love answering questions.
And if you're watching this right now, you definitely have to take Gino up on that because he is 100% that type of person. You reach out to him, he's going to have a conversation with you in a heartbeat. Hey, Gino, thank you, man.
Yeah.
So much for taking the time to jam with me. This has been a lot of fun.
Cool. I was hoping for a Lamborghini, but the Model X will do, you know?
It'll do.
There's slim pickings here in Lexington, right?
It is slim pickings, Lexington. Hey, everyone out there watching and listening, we really appreciate your time. You have yourself an amazing day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to the Strategy with Jason podcast with your host, Jason Harris. Don't want to miss new content? Be sure to check out the full podcast library at strategywithjason.com to stay in the know. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Happy podcasting.